sets of votes. If you can pull out the piece of paper that says needs assess 50 plus needs assessment motions. Just to familiarize folks, if you haven't been in a committee for a minute, the process for resource allocation, as well as the process for really any kind of motion that could potentially involve systemic change or large amounts of funding, is to have motions travel throughout committees and work groups whenever possible. This allows conversation to happen in a small format, as well as many eyes on these motions. So what you should be seeing today, if you have been in committees in the past month, should be familiar with you. However, that should not stymie any kinds of questions, comments, or any interest in changing what is before you. Any questions as far as the process goes for these kinds of motions that we'll be looking at? No process questions? All right, so let's just jump right into it. We have on the 50 plus 7 motion, 4 motions, 3 of them involving potential use of funding, so this will have to be roll call votes. The 4th one, not. So please take a look at that sheet, and I'll just read the motions out loud. The first motion is to prioritize one-time only emergency funds for durable medical equipment. For example, eyeglasses, hearing aids, mobility assistance equipment, and special dental care. Develop strategies for implementation and increase accessibility to these funds by and for individuals most in need. This motion started discussion-wise in the Community Engagement Committee the month prior to the travel motion. And then last month, the motion was actually put together, it looks like, by Council Affairs. They did not achieve quorum, so it was a recommendation. At membership, you'll see the bolded language there. That was added by membership committee members. It then traveled through PLWH Advocacy Group and steering. It's now on the floor for discussion and vote. It will not need to be moved or seconded because it is coming from the committee. Discussion or questions about this motion? Beauty of traveling motions often means all questions have already been answered. So we'll do a roll call vote. Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Orrin Allen has left, I think. Bill Bloom. Out of the room.
Bill Bloom right there. Yeah.
Yes? Okay. Ben Kabenga.
Yes.
Cedric Cadavas.
Yes.
Ed Chin.
Yes.
TJ Lee Miyake for Billy Cooper.
Yes.
Lee Jewell for Mike DiSapola.
Yes.
Elaine Flores.
Yes.
Matt Gelbinger.
Yes.
Dean Goodwin and Thomas Noble. Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
Bruce Ito.
Yes.
Lee Jewell for himself.
Yes.
Helen Lynn.
Yes.
TJ Lee Miyake.
Yes.
Jesse Murphy.
Yes.
Irma Parada.
Yes.
Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Darpin Sachdev. Charles Sarone. Out of the room?
No, he said yes.
We'll come back. J.B. Soto.
Yes.
Michelle Spence.
Yes.
Lord Thomas is out of the room. Charles Sarone.
Yes.
Sorry, what was that? Looking at the second motion, labeled number 2, explore ways to augment mental health services, specifically to address issues surrounding aging. These services should include individual psychotherapy as well as support groups, with an emphasis on therapies by licensed staff or those with significant clinical expertise. These services would not be limited to clients with severe mental health diagnosis, but would be made available to those dealing with mental health challenges common to the aging population, such as depression, anxiety, loneliness, and isolation. This does potentially involve funding, so of course it will be a roll call vote. But first, any discussion or thoughts or comments on this motion? Lee Joel.
So who's going to be doing this? Who's going to be controlling this?
Who's going to be doing what?
Exploring this, ways to augment mental health services. Who's going to be doing that?
An excellent question. Does anyone who was part of the discussion for creating this motion have an answer to that question? Before I give my thoughts, I guess. Ben?
I think it's meant to be broad so that later it can be decided over in what way.
Okay.
There is a potential, of course, for San Francisco or the San Francisco EMA to receive additional funding from actually a range of sources. So this motion is specifically saying, if that does happen, this is something we can look at with that for those funds.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Dean.
So last year, the Board of Supervisors added one-time funds to create a pilot for funding for mental health and sexual support for long-term survivors, which was added back again this year.
Do that?
Okay, let's get a light on this guy.
It's important.
Sorry. Last year, the Board of Supervisors added 1 year of funding for a pilot to fund mental health and psychosocial support programs for long-term survivors to address these needs and others, and that money was added to our budget this fiscal year ongoing, and it'll be part of our base. So all of those programs funding were continued for 6 months while we develop an RFP that will continue those services for, specifically for this population as described there.
Thank you very much, sir.
Any more comments or questions? All right, seeing none, again, as this potentially would use the future funding, so it'll be a roll call vote. Michelle Spence.
Yes.
J.P. Soto.
Yes.
Charles Cerrone.
Yes.
Darvin Sachton. Ken Pierce.
No.
Irma Ferrata.
Yes.
Jesse Murphy.
Yes.
Is that a recusal for conflict of interest?
I feel it is.
Say again?
I feel yes it is.
Okay, so I'll put that as a recuse. Thank you. T.J. Lee-Miyake.
Yes.
Helen Lin.
Yes.
Lee Jewell.
Yes.
Bruce Gito.
Yes.
Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
Thomas Noble and Dean Goodwin.
Yes.
Matt Gelbinger.
Yes.
Elaine Flores.
Yes.
T.J. Lee-Miyake for Mike Nisipola. I'm sorry, Lee Jewell for Mike Nisipola. I'm mixing up.
Thank you, TJ. Yes.
TJ Lee-Miyake for Billy Cooper.
Yes.
Ed Chitty.
Yes.
Cesar Cadavas.
Yes.
Ben Cabana.
Yes.
Bill Bloom.
Yes.
Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Carries. Is there public? I apologize. I didn't call for any public comment prior to either of you folks. Is there any public for either of these two motions? Public comment for either of these two motions?
Don't take it personally.
I guess there's really only two non-governmental motions. Any public comment? Motion three. As new funds become available, to create intensive case management programs specific to the aging population, inclusive of case managers skilled in working with those with complex challenges around both medical and benefits, as well as increased mobile peer advocacy. Motion on the floor does not need to be moved and seconded. Comments or questions? Any public comment on this motion? Chuck Adams.
Yes.
Bill Bloom.
Yes.
Ben Cabanga.
Yes.
Cesar Cadavas.
Yes.
Ed Chitty.
Yes.
T.J. Lee-Miyake for Billy Cooper.
Yes.
Lee Jewell for Mike Nisipola.
Yes.
Elaine Flores.
Yes.
Matt Gelbinger.
Yes.
Dean Goodwin and Thomas Noble.
Yes.
Ron Hernandez.
Yes.
Bruce Ito.
Yes.
Lee Jewell.
Yes.
Helen Lynn.
Yes.
TJ Lee Miyagi.
Yes.
Jesse Murphy.
Yes.
Irma Perotta.
Yes.
Ken Pierce.
Yes.
Charles Sirota.
Yes.
Darvin Return. No. JP Soto.
Yes.
Michelle Spence.
Yes.
Carriers. All right, go on to our final motion regarding the needs assessment recommendations. The Community Engagement Committee will compile demographic data by COE in order to assess the possibility of bolstering gerontology services within the current COE model. The committee will also explore collaboration with the LTCCC, the Long-Term Care Coordinating Council, the Department of Aging and Adult Services, DOS, and with the Aging and Adult Services Commission, as well as gather information for analysis and dissemination within the aging population and the HCPC. Again, the bolded language is added by a committee. Ben, would you like to speak to this motion? I think it came from discussion if you were president or perhaps led.
Or not, if you don't want to.
I remember if I was.
You were.
I was? Okay.
Here you go.
I believe the committee was interested in compiling demographic data by COE.
So that's okay. I wasn't at the meeting, but my understanding of the conversation was that the Community Engagement Committee had decided to not just compile this information, but also to meet with Points of Contact and DOS and to have a discussion about how there could be increased collaboration and understanding of each other's challenges and how to better work together. Does that sound correct? Dave, does that sound correct?
I think the only thing that's... Do you want me to have a microphone? I think the only thing that was... yes? No? No. Check.
Hello?
There it is. I think the only thing that was not said was that a big component of that conversation in community engagement was while developing those previous three recommendations, we often came up against the idea that as a group we had less of an idea of what was outside of HIV-specific services for seniors, and we really needed to broaden our understanding of that, as well as develop more collaborative efforts that had atrophied, honestly, in the last few years in our representation on the LTCCC and our contact with DOTS. So I think those are the sort of big pieces there, and that's what that motion is about.
There was, of course, a more robust collaboration with the LTCCC prior to the merge. There were we shared, actually, seats. There was a representative of the former Care Council on the LTCCC, as there was a representative from the LTCCC on the Care Council that no longer exists, unfortunately. So I, from a staff perspective, think it's a great idea to hopefully reconnect with another very important community body. All right, this is not... include potential for funding at this point, so we can do a hand vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Does it require funding? So, yeah, we can do public comment first. Thank you, Thomas. Any public comment on this? All right. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of this motion. Keep in mind. Looks like it carries. Thank you. All right, for our next agenda item, it's going to be kind of a combination of a little bit of me, and then Dean, and then more of me. Please pull out your resource allocation motions, as well as the multicolored Excel spreadsheets. So look at these motions. These are the three motions that we have to submit to HRSA regarding increased funding, flat funding, and reduced funding. These motions have traveled throughout two of the three subcommittees, as well as the PLWH Advocacy Group and Steering Committee, and now landed here today before you. As you can see, they are no different from the motions that were approved last year, if you recall. What Dean has before you are actually these motions modeled, so you can see what it will actually look like in terms of percentages and actual dollars. After Dean goes through these modeling scenarios, we will then open it up for discussion and vote on each of the resource allocation motions separately. Take it away.
Hi, everyone. So we've stapled these together. So the first page is sort of like the narrative, which I'll read, but you will have to refer to. And then we'll be looking at the budget as I'm describing and highlighting what's happening with each of these scenarios. So it's the same as last year, just a dollar amount of change. Or some of them have changed funding sources. A better way of saying that. So, this is a excitable mouse.
It's a sensitive mouse.
So, on the this is the flat funding scenario, page one, the second page in your handout here. This is based on current allocations. For 1920 and demonstrates level funding across all service categories. So this is how things are currently funded. Here in the lavender, this is the Ryan White Part A, the Ryan White Part A in AI and the percent of that. Then the light green is the Part B and the Part B in AI. And then total Ryan White Part A and Part B and the percent of funding that represents. Whoa. And then the general fund allocations, GTC, general fund allocations, and total allocations. So you can see here, hey, it is working. I feel like Dana White.
And you look like it too.
The 60.9% here in row 14, column Y, that's the amount of funding we have in Ryan White Part A allocated to the core medical services categories. And as Mark went over earlier in the mandate, legislation requires 75%, but there is a process through ERISA where you can waive that request, which we've applied for and received each year since the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. So you can see we're more at like 60% as opposed to 75%, which allows us to continue to support the support service categories with Part A at a higher level. So a thing to note here is, forgetting I can do this, is the total amount is about $36 million. That it's grown a bit with the additional general fund add back dollars that we've received. And a few years ago when we received the programs from Housing and Urban Health. So the on this cover sheet, I'm pointing out some of the total dollar amounts. As you read through it slowly, you can see how they're represented here as well. The first reduction scenario is at 5%. So,
something happened with the titles, so they all look like a 10% reduction. So you should just follow through as it says. It all says a 10% reduction. Is there something happened with the titles? So the first is a flat, and then the next is a 5%, and the next is 10%. They're not all 10%, that's the result.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, I think we go. So let's just say the first one is 5%. So 5% reduction in the category, the scenario is that it be applied only to the essential benefits categories. These are the service categories that are required to be covered as part of the Affordable Care Act. So the last few years since the rollout of ACA, that's where we apply the first couple of scenarios up to the 10% and beyond the reduction. So this is modeling a 5% reduction. across these service categories: mental health, ambulatory outpatient health services, also known as primary medical care, the COEs, medical case management, home health care, EIS program, and home and community-based health services. So a 5% reduction would be about $704,000, and this would result in a reduction equal to about 3.61% of total funding across all funding sources in those programs within the system of care. Any questions on that? So the 10% reduction, the amount is double the 5% amount, oddly enough, $1,408,000, and it's across the same categories. These seven categories that are part of the essential benefits package, and this would result in about a 7.22% reduction in total funding to those categories, and bringing the total amount of funding across the HHS funded system here to $34 million. And this is the more complicated one, the 15% reduction. So the motion is that anything 10% or less is applied across essential benefits categories, and anything above that is applied proportionally across everyone. So what we have here is the first 10%, which is practically the same as what's on the previous page, page 3, applied, the total of $1.48 million to essential benefits. And then the additional 5% would result in about $420,000 in core medical services and $284,000 across support services to get to the total of $704,000. This column in AI is just adding AG and AH for a total of $2,113,000, representing a 15% reduction in runway funding. And that would mean that for the essential benefits programs, total reduction equal to about 9.49%, and for those that aren't part of the EBD categories, about 2.12 in total funding reduction. So I didn't model an increase, because the motion is that we will come back in the unlikely event of an increase in runway funding to discuss what we'll do with increased dollars there. Does anybody have any questions? These categories are in last year's priority order, which we'll talk about when we get to that a bit later. Matt.
So this is probably a stupid question.
There are no stupid questions.
On that last page with the reductions towards everything.
Yeah.
Why would a reduction happen to a service category that doesn't have any Ryan White Part A in it? And how is that saving?
That's a really good question. So in years past, we've had reductions in Ryan White Part A and Ryan White Part B, and also in years past in general fund. What we do is we look at the entire system of care, regardless of funding source, and any reduction scenario that we would need to apply, we would apply across for that total amount of funding and apply it based on. So like if the program was funded at $500,000, 200 of that was from Part A and 300 of that was from general fund, we would apply the percent of the cut to the full 500,000 and just sort of make that work. That's sort of how we work within the system here.
But I guess I'm thinking, maybe this is some kind of anything. I'm thinking like for rental subsidies, if it's all general fund, and you do take 10 or 5% off of it, that 5% isn't a Ryan White savings. So I guess you're then reallocating that 5% savings from general fund, moving that general fund into another?
My eye is twitching just thinking about it.
Okay.
That is what we do.
Okay.
For instance, this year it happened, secured $300,000 of general fund as a CODB for the Ryan White funded programs within the HHS system of care. And what we did is we applied that to all of the CBOs that got that increase, and we give it to them in their existing grant dollars, and we have one large program that was funded with both, and we shifted that, and we thank them very much for doing that, because we know it's, you know, more work on their end with their budget.
So it's just the movie. It's just what I refer to as the shell game. It's a movie.
Yeah. For shells. Yeah, it's a big puzzle of lots of pieces, and we just try to make that work. But we look at it as a whole, one model, one system, regardless of the source. Good question. Really, really good question. I should have said that.
Are the Part B allocations final? Are the Part B allocations final, or do you expect that to change?
So this does not include the supplemental funding that we apply for every year. This is the base amount of Part B funding.
Thank you.
But with the supplemental. Another good question. Yeah, in these system of care budgets, we don't include one-time or supplemental funding that we might just get from year to year, one year at a time, because those change so much from year to year, might potentially obscure, especially when they're all one or two service categories. So this is just the base budget. Any other questions? Okay, I'll hand it over to Mark.
All right. Okay, and we're back. I want to thank you again, Jesse, for recusing there. That actually opens up a brief conversation, or at least information that you should all know about recusals and versus abstentions. You might already be familiar with the Democratic Rules of Order or with Robert's Rules of Order. In case you're not, we'll do a brief review. And also, just as a reminder, as I mentioned earlier, during group votes, by group I mean multiple service categories being voted on, your recusal is assumed. So there's no need for you to call out your recusal, unless you really want to. A recusal means that you are subtracted from the number of votes. It does not impact the vote. An abstention does not subtract you from the number of votes. Therefore, in all intents, not in all intents, but for all purposes, it does count as a no vote. Just something that you should know, because it is not an affirmative vote. It's fine to abstain. The main reason why you abstain is if you feel you do not have enough information to vote on the topic at hand. That might mean because you haven't come to meetings, or you just recently joined the council, or that you just feel like you need more information and you don't want to actually weigh in on something. But do be aware that an abstention, even though it is not specifically a no vote, for all purposes, does count as one. Does that make sense? Any questions? All right. So you saw the allocation scenarios from Dean. Let's just go one by one. For the increased funding scenario, if increased funding occurs, the council will reconvene to discuss this unusual scenario. These do require potential for use of funds, so we'll have to do a roll call on this as well. But first of all, any discussion? Any public comment? All right. Chuck Adams?
Yes.
Bill Bloom? Ben Kabagan?
Yes.
Cesar Cadavez?
Yes.
Ed Chitty?
Yes.
TJ Lee Miyake for Billy Cooper?
Yes.
Lee Jewell for Mike Isapolo?
Yes.
Elaine Flores?
Yes.
Matt Gelmaker?
Yes.
Dean Goodwin and Thomas Noble?
Yes.
Ron Hernandez?
Yes.
Bruce Ito? Lee Jewell?
Yes.
Helen Lin?
Yes.
Michelle Spence?
Yes.
JP Soto?
Yes.
Charles Cerrone?
Yes.
Ken Pierce?
Yes.
Irma Parada?
Yes.
Jesse Murphy?
Yes.
TJ Limiaki?
Yes.
Carries. Moving on, for flat funding, statistically least likely of the scenarios, If funding remains at the current level, the service category resource allocation will remain level across all categories. Any discussion or questions on this motion? Any public comment on this motion? And we're back. Michelle Spence?
Yes.
JP Soto?
Yes.
Charles Ferrone?
Yes.
Ken Pierce?
Yes.
Irma Parada?
Yes.
Jesse Murphy?
Yes.
TJ Lemiani?
Yes.
Helen Lin?
Yes.
Lee Jewell?
Yes.
Rufino?
Yes.
Ron Hernandez?
Yes.
Thomas Noble and Dean Goodwin?
Yes.
Matt Gilmaker?
Yes.
Elaine Flores?
Yes.
TJ Lee Jewell for Mike DiCipolla?
Yes.
TJ Lubiaki for Billy Cooper?
Yes.
Ed Chitty?
Yes.
Cesar Cadavas?
Yes.
Ben Kabanga?
Yes.
Bill Bloom?
Yes.
Chuck Adams?
Yes.
Carries. Thank you. Now for our final motion, decreased funding. In the event of decreased funding for the first 10% of reductions, allocations for services that are covered under California's essential health benefits package will be reduced proportionally. If further reduced allocation is required, reductions will occur proportionally across all service categories. Any questions or comments on this scenario? Public comment. Going to a roll call. Chuck Adams?
Yes.
Bill Bloom?
Yes.
Ben Kabanga?
Yes.
Cesar Cadavas?
Yes.
Ed Chitty?
Yes.
Gila Miyagi for Billy Cooper?
Yes.
Lee Jewell for Mike DiCipolla?
Yes.
Lane Flores?
Yes.
Matt Geltmaker?
Yes.
Dean Goodwin and Thomas Noble?
Yes.
Ron Hernandez?
Yes.
Bruce Ito?
Yes.
Lee Jewell?
Yes.
Helen Lin?
Yes.
TJ Lemiyagi? Yes. Jesse Murphy?
Yes.
Irma Parada?
Yes.
Ken Pierce?
Yes.
Charles Ferrone?
Yes.
JP Soto?
Yes.
Michelle Spence?
Yes.
Carrie, congratulations on the resource allocation.
Yay.
Let's take a break and we're going to meet at 2 o'clock. Which shows your median, you meaning the plural you, your median. And then we're going to actually have some small group discussion, and then we'll go into hopefully getting some motions or emotion around service categories. So just as a review, service categories are divided into core and support. The council decided, not all councils do this, actually very few councils do this, but the council wanted to show that they consider core services and support services to be potentially equally important. And so a good number of years ago, the council decided that we're going to have two separate priorities. That's why you see the numbering go from 1 to 11 and then starting again from 1 to 15. Make sense? All right. You'll also see on this sheet that there are grayed out areas. That means they are not receiving Ryan White Part A funds. The council also decided many years ago that these are still important enough where they want to actually keep these in the mix. And that's why priority setting is still happens with these non-Ryan White Part A services. And you'll see also on the far right, not only are there some that are not paid for by Ryan White Part A, there are some that are specifically listed as general fund only or only in Marin. All right, any questions about what this paper looks like? All right, so it's very interesting going through everyone's individual priority settings. There are some very stark changes. Everyone's absolutely entitled, of course, to prioritize however they feel based on their own experiences as well as based on the information and knowledge that they had throughout all of the council meetings throughout the year. In the end, despite surprising things like, for example, mental health was actually ended up being ranked fairly low by a number of people. Primary medical care was also ranked fairly low, so those kind of balanced out. Food, surprisingly, was ranked fairly low by a small number of people, but also was ranked as a top choice by a number of people, so that also balanced out. This is one of the things I love about these median things, is that, that in the end, you know, kind of like what the group feels. There were no changes from last year, despite the high diversity in prior settings. So all that said, I'd like you guys to talk in your small groups about your own personal or professional feeling about how these services should be prioritized. And then we'll come back. Does anything that the small groups want to share with the big group that came up? We'll have that discussion, and then we'll go to voting. So let's do this for about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how much you guys want to talk. Or less. Ken wants less.
Well, I'm just saying if we know the average is exactly the same, we're beating a dead horse.
Well, there's no beating a dead horse in here. What there is an open process where people are able to discuss their thoughts and feelings. It might be a shorter discussion.
Yeah, 7 minutes.
How long does it take someone to
say that? Table 2, like to represent your
comment. We had some reflection about how this differences between maybe two different kinds of case management categories. We reminded ourselves that this is an important values exercise and that we haven't had to use this as an emergency. We haven't had that disaster time in a while, and that's all. Did I miss anything?
Thank you. Michelle, would you like to report on the small group? Oh,
really? Bill and Mark are going to work out a presentation where Bill will present information on that for us, which I think is important for us to know about. And then we also had a discussion about the differences in the counties, since we have Matt from San Mateo, and we have Elaine from Marin County, and kind of the difference in how they do their prioritization and what the emphasis is for their client populations.
Thank you. All right. So the floor is continues to be open for any discussion on priorities. Does anyone else want to add anything about service categories? This is, of course, in many ways a symbolic exercise, but also there is a real impact as well. The top prioritized service categories are actually described to HRSA as a part of their the grant application. It's more than just a symbolic gesture, although I don't want to reduce the importance of it as a symbolic gesture as well. Any more discussion? All right, I'd like to hear a motion regarding service category prioritization. Lee.
I so move forward with the motion.
Are you moving forward the current?
Yes.
On the far left side. All right, is there a second to the motion? TJ Lumiaki seconds. Any discussion on this motion? Any public comment on this motion to prioritize services as per the far left column? No, as this currently does not actually connect to funding, we can do a hand vote. All those in favor of this motion, please raise your hand. Carries, thank you. Wow, all right. Next agenda item, nominations are now open for two co-chair seats, that of Mike Shriver and David Gonzalez. We will not be actually voting on this, as it is a leadership position. Nominations are simply open, and they will remain open up until next month's vote on these co-chairs. Ken Pierce.
Can you tell us if either of those individuals are interested in?
My understanding is that they both are. Is there a second to both of them?
Second.
We'll go with Irma. Oh, okay. Go with Charles. Minor. Both of them have now been nominated. Any other nominations before we move on? Ron Hernandez.
I'd like to nominate Michelle Spitz.
Is there a second to that motion? We'll go with TJ. All right. Do you accept that nomination? Michelle does not accept.
Good try.
Any other nominations? Okay. I think our final agenda item is if there's any other council business regarding prioritization and resource allocation that people would like to discuss. If you recall, last year we had a robust discussion around which eventually led to the creation of the homeless worker. Anything that came up for you today that you want to consider as like business for the next steering committee meeting, actually? No? All good? Ready to go?
Yeah.
Should we do a checkout? All right, everyone, have a good rest of your afternoon. And